So good evening, everyone. This is Elaine Taylor Klaus with Impact ADHD, and it's our Thursday night 8 o'clock coaching group. And it is late in November and it's getting close to Thanksgiving. So we have a relatively small group tonight, which means we get a nice intimate conversation. And so let's start off with just sort of a check-in and celebrations or challenges from the last couple of weeks from the last time we were together when we were talking about systems and structures. So who wants to share something or sort of give us a little check-in on what's going on? Small group ladies, you gotta step up.
I'm happy to jump in. I had an assignment last week of working with my son two weeks ago to help him get more consistent with his use of his homework schedule plan, which is basically just checking the school website where they post the homework, and for any missing posts that teachers might not do, he can take a picture of the board at school. The teachers write the homework on a board, and they allow the kids to have phones. So the work that we were supposed to do was to get him on board with that, but it's been really difficult. And in fact, your video today came at a wonderful time because my husband and I have both been feeling really overwhelmed with so many things that aren't functioning and in all of our systems. And it was really hard. It was really hard to stay focused on one thing. And he got his report card. We had a parent-teacher conference. So we kind of wanted to wait, too, to have all of the feedback that we would get from the teachers and the report and then put something together in terms of talking to him about motivators. Because you had, I don't remember if I was on with you.
It was me. We were talking about motivation for using the planner.
Right, and you had recommended it was a great suggestion was to brainstorm a number of motivators that would benefit him. And so we've done that. It's kind of like we're getting everything together so we can have a meeting this weekend. But it's
great.
Taken some time, and we definitely got lost in the shuffle of just trying to sort things out. And a frustration of, like, was just, why can't he be more motivated? Intrinsically, and why does it work so hard?
Tonight is the perfect topic for both of you. I love it.
Yeah.
but here's what I want to. I just want to respond to that, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to remember that, you know, on the one hand, maybe you didn't follow through with the exact thing you were sort of gonna pay attention to. But
uh-huh.
What you did do in the last couple of weeks was stay intentional, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to figure it out. And here's the most important thing for us to remember is that this takes time, and it doesn't happen overnight. And you got to try something and then tweak it and then change it. That's a huge part of the model is that rinse and repeat part, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing you describing is a lot of consciousness, a lot of awareness to what was going on, trying to pull all the pieces together, looking at the big picture, and that's huge.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
Celebrate what you are doing, because we have that tendency to say, yeah, but I said I was going to do this and I didn't. Right?
Yeah, I think part of it was that we got lost in an emotional sweep of, both my husband and I just, talking amongst ourselves, but like being just feeling really upset,
So
we kind of had to talk each other down out of our trees.
And was it anger or fear or both?
I think that it's anger in the short term and then fear for the long term.
Yeah.
You know, anxiety that comes in, like, how is this all going to turn out?
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no question. It's scary, and when we get emotional, then we're not operating from our clearest itself, we're caught up in a reactive mode.
Right.
Right, which we all do. And, you know, one of the things that there's an article, Beth Seidel wrote an article early on when we first started Impact ADHD about the two steps that you need to start as a parent, and one of them was about grieving, right? Was sort of mourning the loss, and I have another featured expert in January who's going to write an entire piece on grief and grieving, because sometimes we have to let go of the child we thought we were going to have or the child we wanted to have in order to really embrace the child we do have. So, yeah, you're going to get lost and derailed. But I was going to say you're going to get lost, but it doesn't sound like you were derailed.
A little.
A little. but here you are.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Back
on track. It seemed like last night I started to really get a good sense. I did some writing, some very clear writing that my husband and I shared, and it just seemed like we're honing in. We're getting ready for battle. We're getting ready.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. It's just sometimes it's about taking time to get really clear. And if you look back at the model, right, and you said you watched the video today or you got the video. If you look back at the model, first it's take aim, get really clear on what the issue is, and then the second is education and information. And sometimes that step takes some time. And you're really deep in that step in terms of looking at supporting him academically, if you take that bigger aim.
Right.
That's a big step, right?
You know what? I think what you're saying is this. We have identified in the past couple of weeks that even though so many things don't seem to be going the way they should be, the main objective that we have right now is getting him, keeping him. He's been doing okay. But we want to keep him. He's starting to lose it. He's not staying consistent now with his homework. So we want to somehow really bring that in and make that the primary objective. And everything else is just going to have to wait. And I think that piece of clarity for us was really important to get to. Like you said, take aim. But it was like if somebody told us to take aim at that thing, we wouldn't have really seen it. We had to really figure that out for ourselves.
That's brilliant. Yep. Yep, you're not always going to be clear on what it is, and as you sort of dance around something, that's when you get your clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Great. So anything else?
I would say that I agree with all that stuff that you just said, too. It's like you're talking about my life.
Well, you know, Laura, our names are, like, spelled the same, except
I know. If you just erased a little part of that N, it would be right there. Exactly. Exactly. I think that because it's almost always you and me that log on to the call, like, right before or right after each other. So I almost always hear your name, welcome, Lana, or Laura, Lana's here. And it ends up being us the first two. So there you go.
That's funny. I know.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Laura, check in with us from the last couple of weeks. And you might start talking, but go ahead and share it.
Yeah. I would say that it has been not altogether bad. I mean, I was really working, and like I talked about before, a little bit of going back over our homework procedures, but also really honestly, that car time is still a big thing, and I actually talked to Zachary about it. I said, you know, I noticed that, you know, when we talk in the car on the way home, we're not nice to each other, so maybe we just shouldn't talk, and we can just, you know, because I talked with you guys about me not doing that anymore, but I hadn't talked to him about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, yeah, and I said, so, you know, if you want to talk with me and you're feeling pleasant, then I really would love to talk to you, and if you're a little crabby, let's just be quiet, and you do your iPod, and I'll do my radio, and we'll just get home and get a snack, and then we'll both be happier, and then we can talk about the day. And that has been good, actually, for both of us, I think, to be on the same wavelength of, okay, yep, crabby, don't talk. Or, no, I'm good. School wasn't bad. I did this. You know, so it's actually in some ways freed up that time a little bit for us to talk sometimes. And then this weekend, I stepped backwards. So, like, I thought that was a step forwards. And then on Sunday, I was preparing with some of my schoolwork, and I'm checking my email, and there is a note from the gym teacher saying that Zachary hasn't brought his gym clothes for the last three times, and now his grade's going to be lowered. And I'm like, ah, Zachary. So, of course, about 3.5 minutes later, he and my husband were getting home from wherever they were. I don't know where they were. And I, of course, said, Zachary, get up here. I've talked to you. What? I'm like, you need to see this email.
Right.
And he comes up, and he's like, am I in trouble? And I'm like, yes. I showed him the computer. And the problem, like, my automatic anger was that at the end of last year, he was not bringing his gym clothes because he did not feel like gym was important. And it's cooler for him to wear his regular clothes than the dorky gym clothes, okay, because he's very into how he looks right now and the right shoes and the right things, you know, at 14. And,
Yeah,
so he was knocking his grade down because he just didn't care and it was a stupid class. And part of his thought process, which when I look at it from his eyes, I can understand, he's in excellent shape. He's a black belt. He's ripped. He's stronger than myself by far and almost as strong as my husband, who's a grown man and weightlifts all the time. And so him saying, okay, this is such a stupid class. Why do I need this? I'm in excellent shape. Why do I have to put gym clothes on? Blah, blah, blah,
That's
blah.
Right. And he's
so,
right in some way.
Right. Exactly. And from a child's perspective, absolutely. But do you know the rules to basketball? Do you know the rules to football? You might as well learn it, and it's an easy A, which is what I said. I said, so you're struggling in math. You got to pull it up with the easy classes, art and gym, because those are the ones that if you put a little effort in, there's no homework, there's nothing else, just follow the directions, and you've got an A. I mean, the teachers will tell you that. Do what they say, and you've got an A. And then when you're getting a D in math, there's something to alleviate that on your total GPA. Because, you know,
so did he get it?
An A. So he seemed to get it, and then we got back into this year. And so for me to see the three missed things in a row, I thought, oh, my gosh, he's going back. He doesn't do it. He wants to be cool. And he said, no, 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 Mom, I wasn't doing that. You know, and actually, that's not true. Then I sent him out, okay? First I yelled at him, and then I sent him out. And then I felt bad, and then I called him back, and he didn't want to talk to me, rightfully so, because I just yelled at him. And I said, Zachary, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have come at you like that. It surprised me. I remembered last year. Why don't you tell me the situation? And then he said, okay, it's just been really busy, and then his I don't even remember what he said. It was something legitimate, though, about how he forgot his stuff. And I said, okay, well, what can we do? And he said, I'll think about it. And I said, okay, I'll think about it. Let's talk about it tomorrow. And so in the car yesterday, we actually talked about what would be helpful. Does he need a separate bag? Because he's using a gym bag for multiple things. So then he takes the gym clothes out, and then he uses the bag for other things. And then he's got to put the gym clothes back in. I said, how about I get you a bag that's just for that? I said, we could get you an Adidas bag or something from your alternative clothing store or something. And he's like, okay, well, yeah, maybe. I said, because if you're not switching back and forth,
right,
maybe it's always there. And so we kind of were able to dialogue about that.
So can I just sort of play back to you what I hear? Because it's
yes.
I mean, awesome parenting here, okay?
Oh.
Awesome parent. No, seriously. Okay. Yeah. So you lost it. But what did you do? You recognized you lost it. You went back
yeah.
and apologized. You made it right. Right. So that's a phenomenal
yeah.
thing to teach him. That yes,
mm-hmm.
sometimes even adults lose it, and this is how you handle it when you do. And this is how
yeah.
you take responsibility for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
So extra parenting points there, and
mm-hmm.
then. And this ties really well into what we're going to talk about again tonight, but really you're listening to what he's saying and understanding, getting into his motivations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key to shifting.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, it does sound like things, even if he's going to have setbacks and it's not going to be perfect, but it sounds
yeah.
like how you're handling it and responding to it is improving. In fact, for both of you, it sounds like how you're handling it and responding to it is you can feel the shifting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's one step forward and two steps back, and then one more step forward and then two steps back.
I think it's really probably more like two steps forward and one step back.
Oh, good.
It feels like the opposite.
It feels like the opposite, I know. But what I'm hearing is not actually, because, you know, remember you want to take that long view here, and this is about the long-term goal is to teach him to become an independent human being who can function,
right?
So when we lose it, if we lose it and then we get defensive and then we get blameful, that doesn't teach them anything useful.
Right.
But if we lose it and then we come back and we say, I'm sorry, I want to listen to you, you have a right to be mad at me right now. We are acknowledging them, we are showing compassion, and we're teaching them how to take responsibility for our mistakes.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It felt good afterwards, actually. I was kind of on a mommy high for a little while.
Yeah. We call it
after I was on the mommy low of realizing that I was just doing exactly what I was trying not to do, which was flip out over things and not give him a chance.
So why don't you each identify what do you want to focus on in the next couple of weeks? And we now know that you can identify what it is, and it may shift or change as something else becomes a higher priority. But for tonight's purposes, what do you want to focus on?
I think mine are still – I don't think any of the things that I'm already working on are cured, and so I don't feel like I'm ready to – choose a new goal because I'm still trying to get through consistency in this afternoon stuff and homework and the fact that he's now on academic probation because he's got a D for an entire semester.
Okay.
Which the good news is it's no longer an F. The bad news is it was an F. So, yes, he's pulled it up not high enough to save himself from getting on academic probation. So I think maybe focusing on math and what to do for math.
Do you want to focus on math or do you want it for you with him or is that his focus?
I don't know. I feel like maybe I haven't been in touch enough with his struggle in math.
Okay.
And he's got the tutoring, but it feels a little bit to me like maybe he's just going and doing his homework. And, you know, maybe trying to figure out from him. I know I have to go in on Tuesday, and meet with the teacher and sign the document saying that I'm aware he's on probation.
Academic probation, right.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I just feel like that's where it's falling. And, of course, Jim closed school.
So,
it's still
the
school.
Focus is sort of after school. It's still sort of homework with a special emphasis on math.
Yeah.
Okay.
How I can communicate with him to make math a better situation.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
And Jim Glows.
And what?
And Jim Glows.
And Jim Glows, right. Okay, and Lana, what about you? What do you want to focus on?
I think we're still looking at the making sure he's getting homework assignments recorded daily. But we're also looking at some efficiency issues of getting the work done. And, you know, what's happening is that he's taking breaks and kind of going off and looking at other things on the internet and kind of hanging out and not finishing his homework. It's supposed to be that he comes in and gets his homework done with breaks, but not on the computer. And then he has computer time if his homework's done. But he's really good at finding loopholes.
Yeah.
And we're trying to back off from this constant policing, you know, and look at it, you know, the big picture is we're trying to have him get his homework done on time, hand it in, and see how it goes. And we're not going to be standing over him saying, are you doing your homework? Are you doing your homework?
Right.
So there's that piece, too, and so we feel this conflict of, like, well, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? I mean, we can tell him to a blue in the face about, these are your systems, use them, that he's helped design.
We can talk to him and say it's not working or whatever, but, you know, when it comes down to it, he just doesn't want to hang out doing homework all that time.
Right.
He wants to go be on the computer, and if we're not standing there over him the whole time, he's going to. And he needs a lot of internet access for his homework.
I know.
Because
that's the hardest part, isn't it?
It's the hardest part. We have tried the no internet computer, but you know, and we talked about going back to that. Well, like maybe we'll take the computer, the internet off his computer, and he'll have to come use a different computer for any internet work in front of us. But that turns back to, now with Felicium, he's in ninth grade. We have lives. I'm trying to take nighttime classes. You know, so that's not where we want to go.
So let's bottom line the focus here, Lana. So it's really, you're really focusing on the sort of the system and structure of getting homework done.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm just trying to help you sort of get clear on what it is you're taking aim on.
Right, because we are fuzzy. So, no, it is. It's the structure. It's the system. And it's about getting homework done. Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to the topic tonight, because, I mean, we've already talked about it a couple of times, and it's absolutely where both of you are. So it's perfect, because tonight's conversation is about motivation. And, you know, the thing about ADD, ADHD, is I often say that it's like a deficit of motivation. It's almost like a disability of motivation. For those people who don't have it, there's this ability to decide what you want to do or respond to a need of something you need to do and just get it done. And for people with ADD, they don't have that just get it done button. And there are two areas of executive function where this shows up the most. Two of the places that people with ADD or executive function issues have the biggest challenges are what we call activation, or sort of organizing and getting yourself initiating tasks, getting started, and then maintaining that effort, regulating your energy to keep yourself going is a real huge challenge, and then completing a task tends to be a great challenge. So when you look at it that way, starting, staying with something, and finishing are all challenges for people with ADD, right? Or for many, many, not absolutely everybody, but for many of us. And so, and then focusing along in the middle of it too. So it's really hard to get things done when you don't have the capacity to get yourself going, stay with it, or wrap it up and complete it, right? So it requires what's necessary in the ADD brain to do any of those three steps and to get anything done, really, is motivation. It's getting clear on what it is that gets us going and gets us wanting to do something. Because the truth is, we don't have a natural impetus to do something without wanting it. We really need to have something, some stimulation that gets us wanting to do it. I mean, if you think about it, we give these kids stimulants. Why? Because they need stimulation. They need something to get them going. And it's very similar. So there are any questions? Because I've got something I wanted to explain, but I want to make sure that we're sort of on board with each other before I move on.
I'm good. I got it.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Okay. So motivation is a fundamental component to managing ADHD. In fact, if I had to say there is one skill and one skill only for people with ADD to learn and nothing else, it would be identifying motivators. And, you know, the goal is to help our kids recognize that they need to find their own motivation to get anything done, because that's the only way they really can initiate. And one of the things that's really important, and it gets really important around the age of your kids, so that's why it's particularly important now, is that the motivation, they're at that point where they're no longer motivated just by making you happy. When they were 9 and 10 years old, making mom happy was a good enough reason to do almost anything. But at 14 and 15 years old, that is no longer the case. completely individuated human beings, and they need to identify and get clear on their own motivation for anything to happen. And so they still love you and respect you, and there's still going to be times where they're going to do things for you, but it's no longer able to be the lead driver, if that makes sense. And so finding the motivation and helping them begin to seek motivation for themselves is going to be critical as they move throughout high school, because we really want them to own it, and we want it to be theirs, not ours. And if we're trying to get them to do things because we think it's important, or because we think this system will work, then it's not likely to be successful. So there are five things that we can identify that really motivate people with ADHD. And you want to write these down. The five things are novelty, competition, urgency, interest, and humor. Novelty is sort of anything that's new. It's what you've heard referred to as shiny object syndrome, right? Whenever we see something new or exciting or innovative or creative, it's new. It's attractive. It's stimulating. So novel ideas, novel ways of doing things, anything that's new is likely to be a good motivator. And sometimes what we find when we're using systems and structures is that they get very boring, and so we need to come up with ways to make them new again. And that may mean having two different systems that we go back and forth between. It may mean recognizing that we're going to have to change the system because it's not working anymore because it got boring. And boring is the enemy of productivity for the ADD brain. So novelty is one really important way to motivate. With little kids, it's, you know, making things into a game is a great way to do that. And with teenagers, it's a little harder, but you can sort of tie into the novelty of what else is appealing to them. So you were saying a little while ago that he just wants to hang out on the Internet and surf and go do his stuff. There's novelty there. Every time he clicks, there's something new.
Mm. Right?
So that's part of what he's trying to fulfill. The second thing that motivates some people with ADD, not everybody but some, is competition. And you probably know if your son's one of those kinds of kids who really responds well. If kids have a lot of anxiety, they tend to not be as competitive. Sometimes, not always. And sometimes it's competition with others. Sometimes it's competition with themselves. You know, if they're the kinds of kid that really wants to beat their time, get their new best, get a personal best in a sport, then they tend to be motivated by competition. So sometimes you can set up systems, either competing, friendly competition with other people, but sometimes even competing with themselves for, can you do that a little better? Can you, you know, you did that in 20 minutes, I wonder if you can do it in 18, that kind of thing. Third is urgency. So lots of kids with ADD, lots of people with ADD tend to wait to the last minute to do things. I know this is shocking for you to hear. But the reason that we tend to wait to the last minute is not because it's particularly fun, but because by waiting to the last minute, we actually are letting a different part of the brain take over. And the frontal lobe, which is the part that's challenged, is no longer in charge. When we're really late and pushed to do something, the amygdala takes over, the primitive brain steps in, and we actually are in fight or flight. So when we wait to the last minute, we're getting a bunch of adrenaline that's pumping and getting us ready to get something done. So, and I'm really guilty of this. I tend to wait till right before I have to leave to go take my shower. And it's sort of it's that adrenaline I need to get in, get showered, get my hair done, get done, you know, get done, get out. And I'd love to have a leisurely shower, but somehow I don't have the motivation to get in there until I know I'm not going to have any time left if I don't get going. So it's actually happening in the brain, and we use urgency as a propellant because the adrenaline gets us moving. So that's why often we wait till the last minute to do things. It's not a great strategy overall all the time, but it does have its usefulness, and so sometimes it can be really effective, and to recognize that sometimes we can use it as long as it's not the only method of motivation that we're using. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so two more. Interest, it's, as I said, boredom is the enemy of the ADD brain. So, and the interest is similar to novelty. We got to like something. If it's interesting, we're going to be engaged and we're going to be involved. And if it's boring, it's really hard to get activated to pay attention to it and to focus on it because something else is definitely more interesting. So part of what we want to do with kids in school is we want them to take classes that they're interested in to the extent that they can, which is why college is so much better than high school. And we want them to have teachers that they find interesting to the extent that it's possible because you'll see that these kids will perform for teachers better than, much more so than typical kids. So it's very common to see a kid get a D in math 1 year and an A in math the next year and a D the next year and an A the next year depending on the teacher. And it's just, that is sort of tying into that interest factor. It's whether the teacher can make the subject interesting for them. And then the last one that I like to include is humor, because humor is underrated as a strategy, and it can be really, really effective. And people with ADD tend to be motivated by having fun and laughing and having a good time. In fact, most people tend to be motivated by laughing and having a good time. And humor is a really effective way to engage people with ADD and to help them find their motivation. Because if they're laughing and having a good time, it doesn't feel like work. And it doesn't feel compulsory. And so part of what we're trying to do is help what needs to get done become something we want to do instead of something we need to do. And this, by the way, is a strategy that I use with anybody I coach, whether they have ADD or not. I don't think I've ever coached anybody who I haven't given this homework assignment to at some point, and that's to replace the word should, could, gotta, have to, ought to, and need with the word want for 1 week and just see what happens. And when we begin to shift our thinking from a sense of obligation to a sense of coming from a place of want, it's way more powerful, and we can get a lot more done. So as adults, and moms in particular, it tends to take away a lot of that guilt and a lot of the actions that we do based on obligation, right, the have-tos of our world, and really helps us figure out what we want in our lives. So I don't want a dirty dish. I don't want a sink full of dishes when I get up in the morning. So I can find a different way to want to do the dishes at night. Then if I have to, I don't really care. But similarly for these kids, if we help them tie into what they want, to what's important to them about what they're doing. So like you were talking to your son about sports, right? And he wants to be able to do well in school. So if you tie into that, and so he can use PE as a way to help him be successful, then it's not a sense of obligation, but it's how can this serve him? How can this be useful for him? So those are the sort of five ways that we can really motivate kids and help them find their own motivations. And we just have to remember the bottom line is that the motivator has to be in place to get almost anything done. So our job is to help them figure out what their motivations are and help them begin to learn to seek motivation for themselves. So, thoughts, questions, what comes up for you?
Well, I had a question. That last thing you said where we take the homework assignment for a week of replacing shoulda, coulda, have to, I mean, I should do this, I could do this, et cetera, with want to. Are you recommending we do that for ourselves, for our kids, or for both?
Really for yourselves.
Really for ourselves.
Yeah. That's really
important. I'd like to say ditto. That was my same question.
Yeah.
So good thing that she asked it because that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, no, I really think that's a great assignment for adults to do. Kids are really more about want. So the assignment for them is whenever they have anything that they have to do is to help them figure out what they want about it or what they like about it or what's interesting in it to them, right? To help them find some way to motivate themselves with whatever it is. They don't tend to obligate to operate out of obligation in quite the same way that we do. So what else is coming up? Because this all ties into all of the early conversations we were having tonight. So what are y'all thinking about?
So is this a good point to sit down and figure out from the kid? Because I feel like we've had some talks and we kind of do, you know, similarly to Lana's son, it's computer time and things like that, you know, texting with friends on his phone. And quite frankly, it gets in the way because he sneaks off and hides and does it and all of these other lovely things. And so, I mean, how do you find what they think is a motivator between what realistically you feel like you can offer your child? Because he could also tell me, I want a $60 pair of jeans every time I work hard on my stuff, and I will laugh and say not
even
maybe.
Well, but he could say he wants a $60 pair of jeans, so what would it take for him to get it? Like, if he wants a $60 pair of jeans, what is involved with that? What is he? What could he do to work towards that, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying you have to give him, you know, an expensive pair of jeans, but yeah. So the idea is to help them figure out what do they want and to begin to link their behaviors and their performance with getting what they want. I mean, let's be serious, y'all. We go to work. We live in a world where we're expected to work and our kids are expected to work. And we're rewarded based on our performance, right? That we get paid based on doing work. And so it's perfectly reasonable for our kids to see that what they do has a connection to earning something, to getting something that they want. We work so that we can get the money we need to support our kids, right, to have the family that we want. Whatever the reason is, we don't just do it in a vacuum. And neither can they anymore. They're too old now to do it just because. So what's coming up?
You know, when I look at the list of things that my husband and I came up, he calls it future benefit selling.
I love it.
Like, he's like, that's what it is.
Future benefit, is that what you said?
Yeah, future benefit selling. So it's something in his line of work.
Right.
We're really trying to show, like, why would you want to, you know, buy this widget? Because it has these benefits for you.
Right.
So we're trying to think in those terms. Okay, what would benefit? So, you know, I thought about, like, Steve getting his homework done. He has better respect from his peers. He's more capable of participating in class, and he'll, you know, the teachers will call on him, you know, because they know he's done his homework. You know, like, I started to think along all those lines, but not really sure if those are going to be real motivators for him. Because, you know, all he can talk about is Call of Duty, whatever, you know, for the holiday gift. And
So what do you think is important to him about school?
You know, I think that, I don't know if he knows it, but I know it's important to him that he's doing well.
Why?
With, you know, whatever that means for him.
What's important? What do you think is important about it to him?
I think that it's a huge relief because he struggled so much in school before this school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really painful, and he had negative relationships with his teachers. And I just sat in a parent-teacher conference with seven teachers, and they each spoke to him about all of the good things that he's doing in each of their classes, and then a few things that he needs to work on. And they were very consistent, but you could tell the care is there. And so I know that he feels such relief that, you know, he can be proud of his report card. It has some issues, but nothing, you know, whatever you would fear, it's not there yet. And, you know, I don't know what else. I'm writing this story, and he's just so in the computer.
So who does know?
He does.
Yeah. He does.
Do you think that he can consciously talk about them at age 14?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, maybe not in the sophisticated terms that you can as an adult, but he can start to think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I may have shared this last week. I wrote a piece years ago that is still the shortest and most favorite thing I ever wrote. And it's the 10 words that you can say to change your child's life. And those words are some variation on, I know you, I believe you can do it, or I believe in you, I know you can do it. And when we believe in them, we help them want to believe in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they really want to believe in themselves. And so we have to remind them that it's important to them. And help them see that it's really not for us anymore, that it's for them.
Mm-hmm.
And to begin to tie their education to what kinds of things that they may want to do in the world and what they want their life to look like when they're older, and to the increasing responsibilities, but also the privileges that come with that. And yeah, at 14, they're beginning to look at the kids in high school and go, wow. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm just writing this all down as fast as I can.
Well, you can always go back and listen to it.
I know. I want to run upstairs and tell my husband immediately.
So, you know, what does he know? And this is for both of you. What do they know that you don't know?
Oh. Lots.
Okay. Like what?
I think Zachary's definitely not competitive. Necessarily, but he's got a strong cool factor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't want to do anything that he doesn't think is cool. And last year we thought it was a real struggle because he had gotten in with some friends who didn't think doing a good job was cool at school.
Yeah.
And so, much to our pleasure, two of those students have now gone to different schools.
Lovely.
And it was like a cheering squad here at our house when that happened. Not from his side, because he was sad that his friends were going.
Of course.
But we were very glad. And, you know, he can do that. But I don't know. It's so different from when I was 14. And I'm a girl.
Well, and it is different. It is different.
Yeah.
In our house, we always celebrate nerddom.
I love that.
We've been doing it since they were little. Like, we've really made different be cool. And we had the advantage of everybody in my house is ADD, so, you know, it's sort of different. My daughter was such a nerd. Now, this is the daughter who's now a pretty hip, cool TV actor, right? But when she was 8, 9, and 10 years old, man, that kid was such a misfit. And so we just sort of made geek cool, you know?
I don't think there's any way I can influence cool at all in his mind at this point.
Well, it's hard. He's already 14.
Yeah. We would have had to start a long time ago. I mean, we always tried to play up that smart was the good way to be and things like that. But at this point, I have no say on cool.
Yeah, I get
and
it.
But cool has to be different. It can't be what everybody else has. It has to be, you know, newfangled, something that other people don't have. Can't
and
get those pants someone has. It can't get that sweatshirt. It's new and sparkly.
Right.
Yes.
Novelty.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Right? So you know
you're
motivated by novelty. That's great.
Yeah.
That's really great.
show how to do it with homework. This math is
well,
so cool.
And so
this
that,
model.
But that's the thing. It's like how what's important to him, not about homework, but what does homework represent?
Ooh,
what
yeah,
are the skills that he's learning in homework that he's going to want to apply to his life? Right? And he's not ready to be able to say, sure, I want to be able to learn systems and structures so I can manage myself independently as an adult, right?
Not even maybe. No,
no.
Not even close.
14 going on 10, right?
Right. Yes, definitely.
But a 10-year-old can tell you, I want to be a fireman or a lawyer or something when I grow up. Right? A 10-year-old can tell you, I want to go to college like my mommy and daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So actually that bigger vision and beginning to tie them into a sense of what they want for their lives. Like, why mm-hmm. on earth does this matter right now? You gave him a sense of why PE matters, why gym class matters.
Mm-hmm.
He needs a reason. He needs a motivation. And without it, there's why should he? It's hard, right? It's really hard to get himself to focus and concentrate and initiate and all of that stuff. If he doesn't have a reason for doing it, why should he?
On the follow-through. Often start good with good intentions, and then the follow-through, that's one of those definite executive functions that
so focus
hard
on
one.
That piece
yes.
and reward the completion,
mm-hmm.
right? If that's the challenge for him. So both of you take a minute and just sort of stop and think, what do you feel like you focused on tonight? And what was your clarity? So start with that. And then when you're ready, what action do you want to commit to? And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success? And when somebody's ready to share, just let us know. I'll give you all the time you need.
I would have to say that for me, my clarity is just in thinking in terms of novelty. Because until I say the cool factor thing and then we say this stuff, I think, oh. So kind of trying to put that together with figuring out what motivators will work. And what we found is that long-term motivators don't exist. It's too far away. It's got to be closer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it really can't be at the end of the semester if you've been able to do $500 because everything's lost 3 weeks later. It's too far to be reachable. But I think that in the same way that I was kind of buoyed by the fact that we talked about the gym clothes stuff, maybe trying to find a nice, happy for everybody time to talk about, you know, what does he think is the situation with math and what does he think he could do to figure out? And if he's not sure, what do we need to do to figure out and get his input on it?
Yeah. And maybe help him set some goals about, like, what does he really want? Would a C be good enough? Is that, like... Because if he feels like he needs to get an A, getting from a D to an A may be torture.
Yeah, no, we were really shooting for C.
And is that what he wants?
No, he doesn't want to take math class at all.
Right, but he knows that he's got to, right?
Right, yes.
Right.
Yes.
So what can you do to have that goal become his, not yours?
And that's
your inquiry for the week.
Okay, try to figure that out.
A question to ponder. How can I make the goal, and if the goal is in this case, if it's a C in math,
mm-hmm.
how can I help that goal become his goal, not mine?
Because
mm-hmm. he's not going to work to fulfill your goal. He's only really going to work to fulfill his.
Excellent.
And what else?
I don't know. My brain is hitting a wall because all I can focus on is academic probation.
Okay. So how does he feel about being on academic probation?
My guess is that he doesn't like it,
okay.
But he's too cool to say that. Instead, he says, I don't care. Stupid. Teacher's stupid anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't shown as, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm on academic probation again. It's really been like, stupid teachers.
Right. So stupid teachers is about them, not about him, right?
Yes.
Real easy to put
mm-hmm.
it off.
Right.
So I think that the suggestion I have is to start with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
But not compassion for, you know, this hard work or whatever, but compassion for, I bet this doesn't feel good. Right? I know
mm-hmm.
that you say you don't care, but I know you really do because I know that you are smart and you know you're smart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be really frustrating that doesn't show up. And help, it's the same thing. It's help him find a reason why he wants to get off of academic probation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know he's smart. You two are very bright women. You do not have dumb kids. Right? You know they're smart. They have begun to question whether they're smart. Because they don't do school. And so we have to sort of unpack it for them and separate it for them and help them see that they're not the same thing. And the truth is that school is about half intelligence and half organization.
Oh, yes.
So cognitively they've got what they need, but organizationally it's hard. So, you know, instead of, I want you to do well, to do better, to da da da. I want to help you feel as successful as I know you can be. I want to help you feel good about what you're doing because I know you're smart and it's got to be really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It helps me too.
So what do you want to commit to this week or 2 weeks or whatever over the holidays? Remember, we got Thanksgiving coming up. So, you know, the next couple of weeks is going to be a little different too.
Yeah, which might be a good thing because it kind of like it gives us a break and maybe there's a little bit of the novelty, a little bit of a fresh start.
Yeah.
On return from a break.
Yeah.
But, you know, our family, you know, we want to have this meeting with our son and kind of go over what we collected from school in terms of the report, the conference. And, you know, I would really like this language that you're offering tonight, you know, about helping him feel successful at school and really identifying for him or helping him kind of like mirror back what is it that would, you know, help you feel successful. Kind of try to get in there and see more what he has to say instead of just writing the story for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll have some suggestions that might help him think, but to really kind of hear what he has to say, and maybe that will give me clues as to how to then further the motivation because he'll start to talk about it.
Right. I think that's great. And help him begin to recognize that the goal here is motivation. These boys are old enough to get this. On some level, obviously, but they're old enough.
Okay. I mean, does it make sense to actually talk to them and identify, you know, motivation and
absolutely.
Kind of
talk about,
Yeah. Kind of
no,
like
I would sit down and
what Laura did.
These are the five things that motivate an ADD brain. Without it, it's really hard to get anything done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And absolutely. So you got this homework assignment. And I tend to go with my kid to look at my kids after school instead of you've got to do your homework. I tend to look at them all as, so what's on your agenda tonight, or what do you know you need to get done, or you know, really try to put it back on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, do you need my help planning it out or whatever? And then, all right, so that one sounds like a tough one. What do you need to do to motivate yourself to get it done? How do you need to get yourself? How are you going to address it? They're very creative. You know, sometimes, you know, it's harder as the math gets more sophisticated, but sometimes, like I had my daughter get up. She was practicing for a Spanish test last night, studying. I had her get up and sway and say it out loud, right? Just something to make it a little more interesting and make it interactive, right? Sometimes mm-hmm. if kids play basketball, dribbling while they're trying to learn something can be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your son's doing karate, let him think it out loud and do karate at the same time.
We used to do that when he was a kid.
Yep, let him.
And that was karate, was like a pretend sword spinning around or running up and down the stairs while saying his spelling words and
yep.
upside down on the couch. It was part of what put me into special ed in the first place.
Yeah.
Coming up with creative ways for him to know that he needed to keep moving,
yeah,
which is not really his problem as much anymore because he's really not very wiggly anymore. He's just kind of
he's not wiggly, but his brain still needs the stimulation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I do have him doing moving things, that will actually help.
It could. You don't know. You got to try different things.
Yeah.
But if it helps him be interested or engaged.
Yeah.
If it helps it feel novel or fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll help.
And he listens to loud, raucous music while he's doing his homework with his headphones. That's a very nice headphones for his birthday. Like techno. But he says it makes him get it done so much faster.
Good.
So we said, okay.
That's right. And that's great because you're letting him lead. And that's the thing, guys, is it's time to start handing the reins over to them. Piece by piece, little by little, not the whole thing, but give them a chance to hold the reins in their hands and see what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope everybody has a fabulous holiday. And I encourage you guys to get online and communicate and talk to each other. And we had some interesting conversation earlier today, so there should be some interesting stuff coming from it. About a lot of stuff was discussed in the earlier call today about medication.
Hmm.
But I hope you have a wonderful holiday and enjoy the time with your kids. Remember, at the end of the day, this is about having a relationship with these people. And when they're off from school, it's the only time they ever get to really relax and have fun.
Yeah.
So have a good time and don't make the holiday be all about work.
Yeah. Can
okay? Make sure they get a break.
Great.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Take care. Good night. Bye-bye.